You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace.
Hotel. This call may be recorded or transcribed.
It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, then you know it has to get done. You know it will get done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you, man. No doubt. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program, once again, is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And all times are going to give our Eastern Times. Monday and Wednesday, our story from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny. Our story, Monday and Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. On Thursday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, that's right, family, it's Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan. His program, once again, is Sunday from 5 to 6. From 7 o'clock p.m. on Sunday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. The Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Baba Baruti. Baba Rudy will be my guest on Monday, so you don't want to miss the program on Monday. Baba Moalimu Baruti will be my guest. Appreciate that. Have a good guest today, too. The Black People's Matrix. That's right, family. That's right, Brother Franklin Jones. The Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. July 24th. I freed thousands of captives. I could have freed thousands more if they had known they were in captivity. Our good sister, our good ancestor, Sister Harriet Tubman. Nana Armenthea, also known as Harriet Tubman, Nana Armenthea, is still chasing the plantation, still casting the plantation of the West, scanning, searching for Africans ready for revolution, ready for a revolution and liberation that would release them from the captivity and bring them back home. Her spirit is embedded in the many courageous sisters following her incomparable lead, determined to bring their people to freedom at any cost, walking along newfound paths carved by old railroad conductors, ways to freedom with which only they were allowed to become familiar. As with their ancestral Armenthea, they know friend from foe, and fulfill their mission without fear. Inadvertently, the price for this is collecting prices on their heads. But they, like Nana Armenthea, are packing just in case, I say. So keep an eye out. Be ever ready
for they only call once. If you're ready, you had better take their hand. Follow their lead quickly and quietly. For these remarkable sisters still have many plantations to work and lead them from those Africans who have finally come to recognize they were in captivity. They were enslaved, but now want to be free. Ashe. Affirm, I am the spirit of Armentia. Affirm, I am the spirit of Armentia. July 25th. Truth must seek justice. Justice must seek truth. When justice triumphs, truth will reign on the earth. Ashe. Good hearts never settle. No matter the failures, they never cease their searches until they attain unqualified satisfaction. Even so, seeking spirit know that awareness is only a step toward the next revelation. Wise people with good hearts and humble spirits know that truth reveals itself through focused deliberations. Each such individuals know that any exercise of justice can only be correct when it reveals, decodes, and crushes the lie within that which must be corrected. They know that correction is indispensable if they are to be able to live without suffering the contradictions of knowing but not doing. Such persons recognize that truthful justice must be commensurate to the magnitude and duration of the injustice. Ashe. Affirm, I am determined seeker of truth and justice. Affirm, I am determined seeker of truth and justice. July 26. No matter what accomplishments you make, somebody helped you. No matter what accomplishments you make, somebody helped you. Althea Gibson. She's the ancestor that all of the sisters who play tennis stand on. Althea Gibson. Extreme individualism has had a devastating effect on our sense of trust, community, and cultural identity. It has become one of the most damaging self-definitions that we have accepted as normal for ourselves. For in it, individualized Africans make selfish choices which have no allegiance or connections to African people. The internalization of extreme individualism creates disadvantage in everyone except members of the group who prefer it and whom it, regardless of the collateral benefits to outsiders, exclusively serves. There is no nation building without family, because the family is the nation. Many an African-centered scholar has reminded us that if a community cannot hold its members accountable to it for their words and actions, then it is not a community. Our communalism is not the communism or the socialism that Europeans misguidedly fabricated to try to soften their capitalistic exploitations of themselves and others. Exploitation of family is an anthem to African communalism. African is the first person plural. African is the first person plural. There is no I without we. To say Africans is to say we, us. I am because we are. Because we are, therefore I am. Communalism is a state of mind. It is the understood relationship between a much extended family that makes no issue about everyone with clean hands eating out of the same pot. Let me say that again. It is the understood relationship between a much extended family that makes no issue without everyone with clean hands eating out of the same pot. We are one. It is the expectation of love and fairness from all relationships, and receiving it as if it were expected, but unnecessary. We are one. Affirm, I am first person plural. I'm African. I am first person plural. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. All right. We're going to have a good program today, brother, because we have with us, that's right, family, the Black People's Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones. How you doing, dear brother?
I'm doing fantastic, my brother. It's always a pleasure, always to be on your program.
Well,
I always thank you. Always an honor.
Well, you know, I tell you, you know, sometimes when you're thinking about it, Brother Franklin Jones, you say, you know what? I need to talk to Brother Oshie over the air because I got something I want to tell the people. And you should give me a call because I tell you, I'll be thinking about you. You know it.
Yeah.
And so the beauty of it, family, is that when I call Franklin Jones, he always agrees to come on the program and discuss issues that are affecting our people. And I don't know. I haven't seen too many of your memes. I used to see them all the time, you know, on Facebook and so forth. Did they throw you in jail again, man?
That always happens.
I know.
They removed my new Black Matrix page. You know, they shadow banned at 20,000. Then they removed it. Then they sent me they said I have to upload a picture of me in order to stay on Facebook. Have you ever heard that before?
I didn't know.
They already got my ID, not a picture. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know what's going on. It is what it is.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, you never give up. You continue to tell the truth. You continue to.
They have to. Those who know must teach. It is required of us to do so. Those who can see the truth must teach the truth.
I say.
It's an obligation for us to.
It is. Mm. Yeah.
You know, when you stop fearing death and just speak, you know, just mm-hmm. speak the truth. That's what
speak
we must
truth.
Do. You must speak the truth.
I don't
if
like
there
that.
No power in this.
I don't like that saying. I don't like that saying. Speaking truth to power, because what you're saying is these crackers got the power. So we're speaking truth to them, and of course they can ignore your ass. They can dismiss your ass. They can, you know, undermine you. No, we're not speaking truth. We're speaking truth for liberation. We're speaking truth for self-determination. We're speaking truth to be a sovereign people. That's why we speak in truth. You know, we ain't asking these crackers for shit, because believe me. We see what time it is with them and what's happening here in this country specifically and globally with Europeans, you know, and Africans. This is what this is what our focus is today on today's program, family. Africa is rising. Africa is right. When you see Ibrahim Traore and you see the other leaders in the Sahel, when you see other African leaders, when you see Africans in the diaspora, you know, taking positions. We are rising.
There is a global awakening that's happening around us. And many of our people's minds are so colonized that we're not seeing it. Many of our people's minds are so colonized that they think they're waiting on Jesus to return. They think the greatest thing in their life is the return of a fictional Jesus. But what's actually happening now is the greatest thing in our lives. The awakening. We're seeing the global awakening of our people. We're seeing the erosion of white supremacy, the ideology of white supremacy. Mm-hmm. And their own actions show this awakening is happening because they're working so hard right now to fortify their position of white supremacy. They're rolling back all of our gain rights. They're whitewashing the history books even further. They're expunging our greatnesses from all the books. If the system of white supremacy would continue working like a well-oiled machine, the white oppressors wouldn't be working as hard as they're now doing.
Right.
Because they are aware of this awakening. There's an awakening that's happening. And the problem that they're having as this awakening happening, they don't control the narrative. Their greatest power in the past was that they controlled the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
But now they no longer control the narrative. And that's thanks to two Africans, a Native African who invented a supercomputer that led to the Internet, and an African-American who invented what is called .com that gives all access to the Internet.
Mm.
Also, Black inventors invented the microphones on our cell phones and the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So we are part of our awakening. Don't let the white man fool you.
Right on, right on.
But we are, so there's an awakening that's happening, and we see it all around us. And some of our people's minds are so colonized that they're not seeing it. They're seeing the fall of white supremacy as something that they're feeling miserable about. It's like Brother Malcolm would say, when the white man is sick, the slave house Negro would say, "Master Boss, We sick. No, right now what we're seeing is the white man's sickness. We're seeing the erosion of himself, of his position of power.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing that because the people we are waking up more than ever before. We have, you even see in the correspondence between Native Africans and African Americans, it's never been better than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, Native Africans saw African Americans exclusively through the eyes of the white man's media that criminalized us, denigrated us. So they came to America fearing us. And mm-hmm. we in America saw Africans through the white man's distorted eyes of the crazy Bushmen. So therefore, we were seeing each other through the white man's narratives and the white man's objective to keep us divided globally.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're seeing each other. The Africans on the continent see that we are still them and they are still us. There is an awakening is happening. Even with in the UK, we're contacting the brothers in the UK. We're communicating. There is a global awakening that's happening around us. And what's happening in America is being seen around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Trump single-handedly has destroyed the myth of white superiority, and his buffoonery and racism has brought to the surface the idiotic, insane racism that we still deal with
mm-hmm.
in America.
Mm-hmm.
So the world, we are seeing, I mean, so many times our people are saying, oh, we're seeing the falling of preachers, we're seeing the falling of celebrities, but most specifically, we're seeing the falling of the myth of white superiority. We're seeing their ideology. Like you said, now in Africa, we have so many African nations now standing up and speaking out against the colonial powers that have been exploiting them for hundreds of years. We're talking about it. We're speaking about it. We're standing up against the fringe.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it.
Yes.
And this ideology, once the ideology of awakening starts happening, there's no way to reverse it. The white man can't reverse it because he no longer has monopoly over information. In fact, this is the fact with Zbigniew Brzezinski had said in 2017 before he died. He said, never before in history has the ruling elite been more afraid than they presently are. Because before now, their greatest power was that they control information. They've lost that. So now we're communicating, and we see this awakening. You can even see it in terms of how the Jews are being negatively perceived.
Mm-hmm.
The America's media is controlled by the Jews.
Right.
So they've always been able to keep sympathy on their side. And they've always vilified the Palestinians,
mm-hmm.
And we're always tearing out that the Palestinians don't care about life, and that's why they're blowing themselves up. We never understood that they were fighting back against their oppression. But mm-hmm. now because we have internet, we have communication, we are not brainwashed to believe everything that the Jews are the good people anymore. This is an example of how our people are not we are waking up, and because the white man has lost his monopoly over information. Information is power, mm-hmm. and that's what he has lost. So right now, what he does do, he spreads lots of disinformation to keep us confused and divided. He pushes the ideology of men against women, poor whites against poor blacks. He's all these propaganda campaigns because he doesn't control the singular narrative anymore. But we're waking up, and my point is, we are living in fantastic times to live. If I die tonight, I'm grateful that I live to see an awakening. Another example of this awakening is the people who used to call people like you and me crazy mm-hmm. or crazy militant.
Right.
They're now forced to say, wait a minute, these brothers have a point.
Mm-hmm.
This is an example of the awakening mindset of our people. When our people, when we talk about black liberation and our people say, damn it, I don't hear the goddamn black liberation crap.
Right.
That's a programmed response. Where mm-hmm. our people now says, I don't want to hear about black liberation. We are our worst enemies. Those are programmed response. We've been dealing against that programmed response. Our people are now quickly now waking up.
Hmm.
Now, they don't want us to know how well we're waking up because they keep the ideology of the woke away from their mainstream media platforms. And they keep pushing the idiotic, the ones who call themselves niggers, sag their pants, glorifying pimps. They keep pushing that narrative. But at our core, our people are waking up and they're afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of it. More now, never more than now, that more and more of our people are peeling away from Christianity. Christianity has been a yoke upon the African mind more and more, but awakened said, no, this is not us. This is not us. We're now pushing towards African spirituality more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
We are pushing against it. They had created a narrative that we come from mud and we're nothing. But we know that they've distorted the history of Egypt and plagiarized it to be their history, removed themselves from the caves of Europe and placed themselves on the thrones of Africa's ancient Egypt, and then tell us that we come from nothing. We civilized the world. They say they civilized the world.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want the truth to be told because they're using our great history as theirs.
Yep.
They have mixed people believing that they are responsible for most inventions that revolutionized the world, but the true and fact reality is that black people are responsible for most inventions that revolutionized the world. The white man has distorted narratives to create the illusion that it's him who does it.
Well,
but our people
know,
are now with
just like,
we're able.
It's just like we, so, you know, when they were at the patent office, they knew
yes.
that you couldn't get the patent. That's why I don't believe that Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin. You know, I believe some brother, you know, found a way to separate that the seeds and stuff from the cotton and string it out. You know, I just believe that Eli Whitney obviously took credit because that's what happened to many owners. Owners, I don't hate to use that word too about the crackers. Many
do you know doing slavery and many of the slave narratives? If you read or research, you'll find the slave masters talking about the extraordinary minds of the slaves. See, we never hear those narratives. Just as how we never hear the narratives about the slaves who revolt, we only hear about the passive ones.
Mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
created an image of our ancestors that enables them to better control us.
Right.
Because they control our narrative, they negatively distort and marginalize them to condition us to perceive ourselves through a false, inherent, inferior identity that aids them in maintaining their social dominance over us. Yes, most of doing slavery, many inventions were invented by the slaves.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't get patterns. But check this out. Once the patent office became available to the African,
mm-hmm.
the African American, between the year from the 5 years following slavery to 1943, the African American submitted 726 invention patents to the U.S. Patent Office.
Mm.
This
mm.
more than doubled those made by white men. And African Americans then made up less than 3% of the population. But you see, this narrative is not taught within our schools. Most black people don't know about great narratives. The white man marginalized our narrative because it conditions us to perceive ourselves through an inferior identity that aids in maintaining their social dominance. So our people don't know these great things.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, we don't know that we're being complete. Everything we've been taught is being whitewashed. And you can research right now. For example, many of us, as I said before, and I'll say it again because there are some who didn't listen last time, about we are currently functioning based upon lies that benefit the white supremacy. Like every time we turn our lights on, we think Thomas Edison is responsible for that.
Sure.
But when he invented his light bulbs, no companies purchased, no mass producers because we're not efficient enough. And that's a few minutes. The light bulb that we currently start using was invented by an African American, Louis Latimer. See, all they do is distort facts. And they impose those distortions onto society. We then, our mindset then aligns with their falsehood that exalts themselves and marginalizes us. It's a social science that most people don't fully understand. And unfortunately, they condition us to prefer to be more holy than being critical thinkers. So therefore, we are easy victims for their propaganda and mass manipulation schemes. There's something I always say to black people. Instead of asking yourself, why are we now more demoralized and divided than any previous time in history in the U.S., ask instead who exclusively control what black people believe about ourselves and who benefits the most when we are demoralized and divided. The white man does.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he's going to do to us what gives him the outcome among us that benefits himself. It's who he is. But our people have been conditioned to blindly believe what the white man says. But now the awakening is happening. Our people are recognizing we've been misled to believe that the villains throughout history are now the heroes, mm-hmm. and that we're the bad guys. Many black people even say that for example, their negative distortion of Africa, many of us don't know how that benefits the system of white supremacy. the negative depiction of Africa is a control system. Because by making African Americans feel embarrassed about Africa, regardless, we'll feel it regardless of how bad we have it, we're better than Africa. and it makes us also perceive the enslavement of our ancestors being a rescue mission. This is why millions of black people now feel indebted to the white society for slavery. Millions of black people won't even demand reparations because we feel we've benefited. And another reason why many black people don't demand reparations because we believe that we're the most criminals in the society. We believe we're bringing the society down. So therefore, we are embarrassed to ask for reparation we're still owed. The white society shapes our minds in ways that benefit themselves through their monopoly over what's fed into our minds. Regardless of how intelligent people are, it is possible to control the education they're taught, the narratives they hear, and the media images they see, it's impossible to control what they believe. And that's what the white man has done to us. And then you have our people so dumbed down that we're thinking it's slave syndrome. It's Willie Lynch. It's not Willie Lynch. It is through the white man's monopoly over information. The truth that sets us free, they don't teach in schools. You have to go and research the social science.
That's right.
You have to research propaganda, psychological warfare. And the fact of the internet, the fact that we're now communicating, the white man has lost a great percentage of his ability to control us. Trump's presidency has done more for black people than Obama's presidency has done. Let me explain that. When Obama was president, there are these ruling white elites who had these things for him to do. For example, go after Gaddafi, remove Gaddafi from power, change some things for Africa to the benefit of Western society while having a black face in the White House. But it's still a system of white supremacy. But since Trump's presidency, his idiotic presidency, has caused a division among the Western society. It has destroyed the myth of white superiority and has exposed the evils of white that still exist in our society. And even though he's doing all these crazy things, I'm glad that our people are waking up to realize the reality of who we are and who the white man truly is. Yes. All of these lies are falling in front of our faces. Don't cry for him. We should be celebrating. The awakening is among us.
I say.
And I'm so proud when I watch the I watch African TV and listening to my brothers in Africa talking about standing up against the colonials. I'm so proud when I see the Africans, when George Floyd died, African leaders telling African Americans, come home, come home.
Yes, yes.
I love to see that. We've never had that unity. The unity we now have.
You know, because there's still...
always by design when an African comes to America looking down on African Americans.
Because there's still a good number of us who have been so whitewashed, you know, that...
Oh, yes.
That we believe that being African and being in Africa is not what you want to do or where you want to be. You want to be in Europe. You want to be in America, you know, and will do whatever they can. Sometimes they'll pay much money to try to get out when in actuality, where they are is where they need to be and where they need to pull the resources and come together because you have the land, you have the resources, you have everything that you need to make a functional society for our people, you know, but yet you want to go to Europe. You want to go to France.
Yeah.
I mean, look what France has done to us over these many centuries. I know when discrimination was happening here and it's always happened and will continue that many of the artists, jazz musicians, so forth would go to France. You know, they say with much more freedom. Now, understanding the dynamics of who the French were and what the French was designed to do, how they were manipulating and continuing to undermine Africans, keeping the resources, just like the British. I mean, the British are the worst son of a bitches on this planet. But yet, because of what they have done over the last almost last century, of reshaping their image, you don't think of the British that well. But when the British say it to the world, the sun never sets on the British Empire. Because why? They were around the world taking your shit, taking everything.
Yeah.
You know, eliminating people. Go ahead.
And they still do so now. But they call it protecting national interests. And under the term protecting national interests, they do so much unethical crap. Like an economic hitman, how they create a coup to undermine, to take to take over a government and put their puppet government in place. You know, we saw what happened, like we said, to Osama bin Laden. I mean, to, what's the brother you said? Muammar Gaddafi. We saw that. Mm-hmm. We saw what happened when they accused Iraq of having weapons of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. The goal is always they do crooked things, but they've been doing this in Africa for a long time. Right. Yes. They're the criminals, but they create the image that they're the good people. It's called perception management. Through their perception management system, they've given their racial group an elaborate favorable image makeover. And they've given we, black people, a negative image. Mm-hmm. Because they create a picture of us that makes people, that devalues us, that makes people insensitive to our plight. And it's called manufactured consent to mistreat. Mm. That's a propaganda tactic called manufactured consent to mistreat. They vilify us to falsely validate the mistreatment of us. Mm-hmm. It makes their mistreatment of us appear justified.
Right.
That's what they do. They made us the face of crime and degradation. Mm-hmm. And this propaganda campaign was started in 1968 because in 1968, during the 1960s, African Americans got lots of global support during the 1960s protests. Dr. King was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. So the white rulers in America realized that they had to continue their mistreatment of African Americans, they had to manufacture consent to do so. So they started a propaganda campaign that vilified and criminalized the image of African Americans. And the propaganda campaign worked so well that many African Americans believe that the white society's mistreatment of us is justified. Mm-hmm. This is why some black people hear a cop kill a black man. Well, what did he do? He must have done something. They've been programmed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Many of our people are programmed. I don't delusion myself to say that all of our people are waking up, but I focus on those who are waking up. Right. I focus on those who are my tribesmen, and that's where we get stronger. And there's power in the truth. There is the truth functions at a higher vibrational level. Just keep speaking the truth, and so I just focus on the truth and continue to spread the truth and celebrate the awakening. I'm not going to feel sad about the ignorant ones who insist on holding on to their mental chains. Some of our people's minds are so colonized and they're so attached to the colonizing lies that have been doctored to their minds that they don't know how to exist without it. They right. don't know how to separate themselves from it. Well, like right now, there are people who are listening and they can't imagine thinking outside of the white man's paradigm of Jesus, a heaven, angels. You know, that mm-hmm. ideology of Christianity was brutally imposed upon Africans during our lowest time in our history. And yet we are now walking around with computers in our pockets, access to unlimited verifiable information, and we're mm-hmm. still holding on to an ideology that was brutally beaten into the minds of our enslaved ancestors and colonized ancestors during the lowest time in our history. Mm-hmm. We are mentally enslaved when we hold on to an ideology, a literature, that was imposed upon us by our most ungodly enemies. But our people aren't thinking that. You know, and like I said, I'm not choosing to focus on the mentally enslaved today. I'm focusing on those who are waking up to the reality of what we're seeing around us.
Yes.
And we're seeing it. We're seeing the
right. We're seeing the liberation of Africa in real time. We're seeing it in real. We see the rising of Africa in real time. Yeah. Many of us, like myself, and I've said this on this program many times, I want to see this happening, and now I see it happening. Now I see it.
It's happening.
It's happening. You know, I may not see the total fruition of a liberated Africa with Africans on the continent building roads and houses and ports and so forth, but I know that's where it's coming to. I see what's happening in the Sahel. I see what's – I just seen read about Ghana, you know, Senegal, many other countries, and hopefully very soon some eastern countries and some central and southern African countries coming together, and northern African countries, because all of that is ours.
I've seen that too.
Yeah, because
I've been listening to some in Ethiopia. I've seen so many Ethiopians posting these, speaking about liberation, about what colonization did to them, and you say, "Wow, you never hear these people talk about it." And even among them, you see there's this growth of awakening across the continent that's happening. And the ruling elite, white elite knows it. Mm-hmm. They know that it's happening. And you're right about the mindset about some people who are people who don't want to ever visit Africa. I have family members who have no desires to visit Africa. They want to visit every place in Europe. That's their dream, to go to Europe.
Yeah.
But that's the result of the colonizing of our minds. Mm-hmm. We've been colonized in America for more than 400 years. Okay? So now that we have access to unlimited information, there are some people whose mindset has been socialized away from liberation. So they want to use the access to information to merely spread silly videos, twerk videos. They don't have the mindset. But there are many of those who are, as we wake up, those of us who know must teach. And then there's a segment who gravitates to the truth. And then there are those who you can't reach them regardless. They are lost. Fine. Those who know must teach. Mm-hmm. And those groups who are receptive to it will gravitate towards it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've proven this. Like I said, when I got 200,000 followers before they shut me down on Facebook, it showed when you start putting out the information, you started gravitating those who start coming towards you. But mm-hmm. once I reached 200,000, they shut me down. So, but I know there is a demand for it. I never say, you know, people say, man, black people want to hear truth. Yeah. That's untrue. There are many black people who are tired of believing in things that insult their own intelligence.
They say there are 40 million. They say that. They say there are 40 million of us in this country. You know, there's more Africans. There's more Africans in Brazil.
I'll tell you something about that also. Okay. We can't even trust that number because the white society, when you understand psychological warfare,
I
serve the military. And what they always do is you always make the enemy's numbers smaller than it truly is. Mm. Mm-hmm. They tell us that, oh, we're only 40% of the population. And you see the contradiction. For a long time, they say we're having babies like crazy. But then they say our population has only grown very little in the last 20 years. You know, the white man marginalized us. And all as long as he's controlling our narrative, he's always going to present to us a distorted depiction of us mm-hmm. that aids him in maintaining his control and power over us. He's always going to tell us that our numbers are smaller than it truly is.
Right.
He's always going to tell us that all statistics favor themselves over us. He's always going to tell us that our IQs are less than his. Mm-hmm. It's called maintaining dominance over a superior group by using a psychological remedy. Mm-hmm. You condition the people to believe less about themselves. That's how you maintain dominance over a people. A black people, during the 1960s, when they studied the African-American population to mm-hmm. understand the reasons for the black protest, they said there was an elevated and unifying black collective self-esteem brought on by the emergence of the Black Pride movement. So they learned that to control black people, they have to keep our collective self-esteem low. Mm-hmm. This is why all information we receive from the white society are negative and demoralizing. When you start critically thinking, can you not see how cartoonishly unrealistic it actually is, that everything it tells about themselves are negative? They don't care how it appears. They care about the effects. Many black people keep receiving those negative information, and we become so demoralized, we become so divided, we start resenting our own people. And it shifts our collective aggressions away from the oppressor and redirects it towards ourselves. Everything the white man does, there is a psychological warfare behind it. There's mm-hmm. a science behind it.
Right.
Even black people, so often we will find evidence proving that the Egyptians were black. And we think we can run to the white man and say, look, this is proof. Regardless of what proof you present to the white man about Egyptian people, they will never acknowledge it because creating the illusion that there's a question about the race of the ancient Egyptian benefits those who are masquerading themselves as being the ancient Egyptian.
Right. And it's just like,
everything,
you know, it's just like
social science. And we're drowning in lies. And the social science, I'm sorry, the social science reason why they paint the Egyptians as white is because, according to social science, a people's future is predetermined by the history they're taught to believe about themselves. People's reference, their capability, and their self-images are made by what they're taught to believe about themselves. Mm-hmm. Because the white man's ancient history takes him into a cave in ancient Europe, at Neanderthals, he removed himself from the cave, separated himself from the Neanderthal ancestors, and falsely placed himself upon the thrones of Africa and ancient Egypt, and falsely claimed himself as being the highest evolved African Homo sapiens who turned white due to migration to colder times of Europe. But science has proven, if you go and research, that they are not African albino. They're not separate. The white man created a false narrative, and those false narratives empowers him. You said something, I love it. You said ultimate power is the ability to create false narratives, impose them upon society or impose them upon people, and then have people within the society function based upon those narratives as if they're true. That's the white man's power. Mm-hmm. He's been imposing false narratives onto the world and forcing us to digest and accept those false narratives. But now he has lost that ability because now we're able to push against his line. And mm-hmm. that's what we're seeing within a manifestation of the erosion of his grip upon our minds through his line. We are living in fascinating times. You can hear the excitement in my voice. We are living in an exciting time.
Yes, we are.
To see what
I agree.
But some of our people's minds are so caught that they're waiting on Jesus. Mm. Waiting on Jesus? He's a myth created by a white man. We are living in the time we want to see. We want to now see what we're seeing. We're seeing the awakening of our people globally. We're seeing African nations working on unifying. They're now aware of the tactics that the oppressors use when he plays base all around Africa so he can control and take and control the resources. They know that a white man divides different countries to keep them fighting so that we won't unify. Our people are more and more aware of it now. And because the white man has lost his monopoly, his control over narrative.
It's over.
That was his greatest power.
That's right. It's over. You know.
Greatest power.
Yeah, it's over. Got some callers. Let me get some callers in before we go to a break. excuse me. Good morning, my brother. How you doing? Brother Lusk, are you there?
Good morning, Bubba Hoshi. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing well.
And good morning, Franklin Jones. How are you?
Good morning, my brother.
Good to hear your voice, man. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you too, my brother.
And thank you for your presentation. One of the questions that, for me, that came about as you were speaking and came to my mind was with regards to doing the work, all right? It's one thing I ask about how are people waking up, okay? What is the kind and type of work that they are doing to help in this process of waking up, and what really all goes into it. It's one thing to make mention, but there's another to really actually work, right? That four-letter word is something that sometimes you find, do brothers and sisters really want to do that at all?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I was still listening. You were still talking, right?
Yeah, I'm finished. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. What's he saying? It says we should never underestimate the power of planting seeds of truth into fertile minds. Mm-hmm. As we continue to spread the truth, there are people who are awakening and doing their part also. I'll give you an example. Okay. Several times I've had professors call me from different colleges, different universities across the country, and they would tell me that they're doing a presentation based upon my they've heard my speeches, they've read my books, and they're teaching it. Uh-huh. I've talked to people who do homeschooling. They've invited me over, and they're incorporating teaching into their homeschooling. There's a grassroots, it's organic. When people hear the truth, okay, I'll put it this way. There is an inherent response within the human psyche that is the vehicle that moves us forward in our terms of our liberation. I'll explain this. That okay. inherent response is this. Whenever people recognize this danger, they move that they adjust themselves from the danger. Likewise, when people have been made to realize that they've been lied to, they reorient their minds and their behaviors towards what they know to be true. So once we continue putting out truth, keep spreading truth as we're now doing, there are groups who are listening. There are organizations. There are those who, upon hearing the truth, respond accordingly to it. Just as there are those who are they're totally lost, there are those who are adjusting their mindset to it. So
okay.
You may not see that evident in the white man's control media. You may not see that evidence in the TV shows because the black liberation will not be televised because the white man doesn't want the ideology spreading. So under his control, he's going to continue to show the niggerism. He's going to show the idiotic. He wants to keep us in that sense. The white man doesn't want the ideology of liberation to grow, so he tries to keep us from seeing it. But don't feel fatigued. All people are, in fact, waking up. It is actually happening.
Just continue to
learn and spread. Do your part. Learn and spread. Learn and spread. Teach the truth and speak the truth. That's how we will liberate and waken up our people. And I saw evidence of it in my travel. The awakening of our people is really happening.
Well, very good. Very good. Well, look, Brother Jones, thank you so very much for being on the show today. It's a pleasure to hear your voice again. And
it's an honor to be on the show. It's an honor.
Yes, and hopefully we could can hear more of you from time to time. Thank you so very much, brother.
Definitely great. I want to say something also. I'm not talking from the side of my neck. I'm telling you something. When I was training in the military, it says in psychological warfare, it says the only way to fight propaganda is with counter propaganda. I say again, they teach you the only way to fight propaganda is with counter propaganda. So when the white man keeps spreading his lies, we use the social media platforms to spread our counter propaganda. That's how you push back against lies, is the counter propaganda. And the counter propaganda must be spread just as rapidly as the propaganda. We must repeatedly spread it, repeatedly push it. That's how we start to change the hold that the white man has upon our minds. We push the truth, and the truth has a greater power than a lie. Mm-hmm. Once the truth is seen, it cannot be unseen. Once the truth is taught, it cannot be untaught. Therefore, the truth acts like a virus to the system of white supremacy that sits upon a throne of lies, because it elevates our minds. It wakes us up. False knowledge keeps us mentally enslaved. But true knowledge is one that expands our understanding and changes how we see the world, how we see ourselves.
You know, it's
stop perceiving ourselves through the distorted lens of the racist white society.
And see, for us, we have to reject. My consciousness way back from the 60s when I grew up, begin to understand you reject everything that the cracker presents. You reject it all, you know. There's not anything plausible. No, I don't. No, you reject it all, and you stand with the scholars. I mean, coming up, I recognize some great men and women. You know, I love to talk about Drusilla Dungy Houston and A.J. Rogers and many other old historians, because they did it with love. John G. Jackson. Without foundation money, without grant money, they did it for the love of our people, to search out information and to bring that information back to us so we know who we are, because we have been consistently lied to. When you talked about Kemet or Egypt, you know, and how it had been whitewashed, you know, initially they understood, the Greeks understood that they were sitting at our feet. But the latter part, once that happened, then they came back in. They got the information. They came back in as conquerors. And, of course, the Romans, they were conquerors. And Kemet changed from being land of blacks to the land of whites. And even today, I see this this Arab dude all the time, and he claims that it was them from the very beginning. From the beginning of Kemet, which of course is truly erroneous, but you know, it is a glorious history, but it is ours. You know, we created that society. It is ours. And when Dr. Sheikh Anta Jop and Dr. Theophile Obenga went to that symposium in 1974, over 50 years ago, they were the only two Africans at the table, and they kicked their ass. They kicked their ass so well. And Dr. Sheikh Anta Jop developed the smoking gun, the melanin dosage test. He could take some fiber or some skin of a mummy and extract it, go through the microscope, and he could tell how much melanin was in that man or that mummy.
Yeah.
And proving,
in 2012, they did a DNA analysis. A company called American Tribes, an American company that focused on DNA analysis, went to Egypt, in 2012 and 2013, they did perform DNA analysis on several mummies from different periods, and all of the mummies were scientifically proven to be Africans. But you see, the same way they don't care about the truth.
No,
they suppress the truth because they want their narratives to prevail. Society functions based upon the narratives. Our mind aligns with the narratives that we are taught. And the narrative that we are taught places Caucasians at the top of history, at the center of history, then they're the highest. So they put indoctrinate an ideology into our minds that makes us think in ways that serves and benefits the system of white supremacy. They describe it as instilling a value system into our subconscious minds that empowers themselves. So they don't care about the truth. Like when I say they sit upon a throne of lies, they don't care. So when Dr. Sheik went there, and then he was explaining to them and pointing out the evidence that they were black, they didn't care. They didn't even invite him to the next meeting. After he left, he kicked their butts. After he left, they never invited him to any further meetings regarding the ancient Egyptians because they didn't care about the truth.
No.
Because they created a false version of history that benefits the white society. In fact, the white society's collective self-esteem and their self-image have been falsely bolstered at the expense of the collective self-esteem and collective self-image of black people. Mm-hmm. They can't tell the truth because they're using our history for themselves.
Right.
And secondly, they can't maintain their dominance over black people and teach that while they were living in caves in Europe, black people were building pyramids. They can't say that black people civilized them and used to daily bath with them. They can't say that black people invented the wheel. They can't teach the true history because the true history, their true history, shows their position of power as being an illegitimate one. So they have to create a false version of history that gives them a legitimate, that endorses their current position of power. The truth is they've stolen everything they have. They've given themselves credit for inventions made by other people. So they created a false version of history that endorses their position of power. And this history has been indoctrinated into our minds from the age of 5 to the age of 18 while we're in school. Mm-hmm. And then we continue for our life through propaganda campaigns and TV shows and movies while people are being entertained.
And it continues throughout the so-called the academy, all the universities and so forth.
Yes, for our lives we're seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, we're going to take a break. We come back from the break. Okay. There's many of them online here, so you, brothers and sisters, be patient. We're talking today with Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People's Matrix. We're talking about Africa on the rise. Africa is rising. It is happening in real time. You know, we have Africans throughout the diaspora who are just standing up. We're going to be standing up here. And even those Negroes, you know, that want to continue to do the bidding of the European, we're going to check their ass too. So, brothers and sisters, you stay with us. We'll be right back. Okay? You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Playback.
that be? Algorithms designed to bounce with transcendental lines, designed to fill your mind. Now that you realize the prize arrives, we got the pump, the stuff to make it tough. From the heart, it's the start of work of art to revolutionize, make a change, something strange. People, people, we all the same. No, we're not the same, because we don't know the game. What we need is awareness. We can't get careless. You say, what is this? I'm a loving. Let's get down to business. Mental self-defense of fitness.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Chuck D. Yeah. Man, as I was looking at that, I was looking at Professor Griff, man. He looks so young. Yeah, that was the 80s, family. Yeah, that was the 80s. Don't believe the hype.
That was the '80s when you had conscious rap, you know. Then of course
we need to bring that back.
Yeah. Well, you know, and they definitely should, especially in this awakening. But you know,
yeah.
what you have, they understand, you know, that you, just like you always say, they want to control the narrative.
Yes.
And that narrative that they want to control is that we gangsters, we dog out our women, we drug dealers, we drug users, you know, we're no fit fathers and no fit mothers, you know.
Yeah.
Is that the image?
You know, I mean, our people just don't understand the power of imagery and narratives. The truth is this: those who write the people's narratives and control their media images literally control their culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because people start imitating those media depictions of themselves that they accept as being their reality.
Mm-hmm.
And people's behavior aligns with the narratives about themselves that they accept as being true. Like if you write that people never said that they're their worst enemy, you start to see black people mean mugging each other. I'm warm with the white man, I'm warm with my own people. We align with it. The white man writes our narratives and controls our media images, and he used that control to negatively steer our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to battle it is to educate our people about it, to understand what's really happening. That many of our people don't know that their thoughts are not their own. Their thoughts are a result of what has been fed into their mind. You know?
And those thoughts become your behavior.
Your behavior,
your actions. Those are your actions.
Yeah.
See? So we have to understand that. That's why I said earlier that you reject everything that the Caucasian, the European, you Rugu, the cracker, whatever.
Bring everything from him.
You know? He's a liar. He has been a proven liar.
He's history's most diabolical, most narcissistic, most deceitful group throughout history. He is who he is.
Yeah.
But we've been conditioned, millions of our people have been conditioned to perceive the white man as being the authority of all what's true,
mm-hmm.
in spite of his evil history of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
We've been brainwashed to believe what history's most deceitful liars tell us to believe. It's true because the white man said it.
Yeah.
You know? The Bible's the true words of God because the white man who enslaved us and killed us and tortured us and raped us said so.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense at all. But we are not functioning based on what makes sense. We're functioning based upon tradition. Isn't that ridiculous that is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they got people in many cases so brainwashed that telling the truth now literally offends millions,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I don't focus on that.
Telling the truth.
I'm excited because the mentally enslaved and colonized minds are those who are waiting for Jesus to return. But a conscious mind is those who are waiting for a massive awakening of our people. And we're living in a time of a massive awakening.
That's right.
I'm celebrating that.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Let me catch Irv. Brother Irv, how you doing? You're on the line with Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. Brother Irv, are you there? Did you walk away? Okay, Brother Irv. You clicked to say you're coming in, but click back again. You know, you want to do hit star twice. Brother Paul.
Baba Ochi.
How are you today? I am doing well, man. How are you doing? Well, how are you, my friend?
Well, firstly, let me ask my brother Sabat a question. My brother Sabat, why are you laughing?
Yeah. Whenever I hear your voice, I laugh because I love your spirit. I love your intelligence. I love the African spirit within you.
I love it.
When you come on the air.
That's right. I agree.
Well, Baba Sabat.
I appreciate
that's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful response because we must laugh, but we must laugh, you know. Just that little laugh just confirms to me you are over 2,000 miles away, but it just confirms to me that we are on the same energy.
We're on the same page.
That laugh, you know, because I didn't make a joke, but just that laugh, that community. Absolutely. See, we even got our elder laughing. He totally understands. He totally gets it. You see, when we're on the same page here, we can laugh, you know. We can just laugh.
Yep.
And even with that laugh, even with that energy behind that laugh, we make things happen. Trust me on what I'm telling you.
I know.
What I'm going to say to you. What I'm going to say to you is this, yeah? I'm going to, for want of a better phrase, I'm just going to play devil's advocate. Because I feel, Brother Sabet and Baba Ochi, I feel that life is duality. Life is never left. Life is never right. Life is never all black and never all white. It's a duality. That's what we see in this dimension. So what I'm going to say to you is this, yeah? You see, with our adversaries, right, they're very slippery and very tricky. And one of the things they use is, as our brothers pointed out, is propaganda and psychology, like psychological warfare. That means warfare on the psyche, your mind. Warfare on your mind. Yeah? So they will sow for us. They will sow for us illusions. For instance, they will pretend that three planes ran into two towers and them two towers caught a fire and they just collapsed. Okay? And they will convince the whole world, of that. And you would even argue with your family. You say to them, well, by the way, never in history has a building of that caliber ever collapsed. Never in history. No. Right? A steel frame that I understand they got the steel from Japan, which Japan suffers earthquakes and it's the expert in building, earthquake, resistance. Proof buildings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Resistance. Yeah. And I can go on and on and on and on. But the bottom line is it's just never happened. But yeah, they will argue with me. Oh, it's happened because we see it on TV. What? You know where I'm going with it. You know where I'm going.
Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So what I'm saying is, I want you to just hold on for a second. You see that region where they're calling the Sahel region, right? Firstly, Sahel is an Arabic name. It's not an African name. It's an Arab name.
Okay.
Sahel. We shouldn't even be using that name. It's an Arab-defining name, not an African name. Why? Firstly, my first question is, why do we allow Arabs and others to define who we are? That's a problem, right? Yeah, we speak English, so therefore we allow the catchers to define our mind. And then we call ourselves by names other people give us. That's a problem. All right, so what I'm saying is here, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Is there a possibility that our adversaries, being the French, the English, and the Western world as a whole, maybe playing a puppet show with us, meaning putting characters in front of us to lead us down the road like the Pied Piper, like we're following Jesus Christ or like we're following Muhammad, right into a trap. Is there a possibility of that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There's always a possibility. That's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But
the trick.
Who do you see? Well, who do you see that's in a position to do that to us right now, who may be a puppet leader who's leading us away?
Well, you see, life is a duality. So what I'm saying, the possibilities are infinite because they are fighting for their survival and they will do anything. They will collapse two towers and kill their own people, right, in front of the world, murder off their own people and pretend and act and tell you someone else did it.
Mm-hmm.
They will do anything. They don't care. So the point I'm trying to make, who do I suspect? Well, we talk about the three kings, lead I say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I'm just going to say it honestly. Some things are not adding up. When I sit down and collect my collective thoughts, some things do not add up. But I'm not going to go into that here. I'm not going to go into that here. But looking at the precedents, I'm saying looking at the precedents, I mean the history of our adversaries, they often lead us into traps. Last thing I'm going to say, brother, and I want you to deal with this, yeah? You see, we talk about you watch psychological warfare in the military, right? But look at this. That Bible, is it true? The Bible, is it true?
No, it's not.
Right.
Bible that's strongly
connected. Don't say no more. Don't say no more. It's not true. So if it's not true, it's a lie. But I want to tell you something. Look at how they've constructed a lie and look what they've done to our brains. Because you can't tell somebody who's wrapped up in that lie that that is a lie. You can't tell them that. And most of that is us people who look like that. In that place where my parents come from, Jamaica, they're ducked up and hopped up on that to the T. On that thing. Even my own parents. Now, how does that feel me speaking out like that? They treat me like I'm some crazy person. I'm trying to tell them the truth. and they're doped up and hopped up on that lie. But they'll tell me that I've got it wrong because they know about some God, what somebody's told them was beaten, raped, murdered into them, and they just regurgitate it because they can't think outside the box. So my point is this, my brother. They create these lies that they've been using psychological warfare on us for years, hundreds of years, hundreds. And today, with the, like you rightfully said, with the act, what scares me the most, what scares the hell out of me, with the access to information at your fingertips, most of us still ain't waking up. That means there's something wrong with us.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say it like that. To me, there is something wrong with us. Because you've got access to your fingertips. You just need to go and do the research. But you're still regurgitating that nonsense. There's something wrong, brother. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
I agree,
brother, hits a lot of great points. And I think I really commend him. Every time a brother calls, he always brings so much to the conversation. I appreciate it. But what a brother said when he started about 9/11, you are on point. That's a great example of the extent that they would go through to get their agenda served. Kill their own people, you know, tear down buildings in America just to justify going there for their own agenda. That's exactly what he's saying. Now, what he said about the Bible is so true. When you look at facts regarding the Bible as they truly are, first of all, a Bible that strongly condones the evils of slavery written by history's most ungodliest group is totally disqualified from containing the true words of God. The Romans who wrote the Bible engaged in massive orgies and death sports, and they continued to practice even long after writing the Bible. Okay. Secondly, when the early white Christians converted Africans into their religion, it had nothing to do with saving the souls of Africans because the early white Christians believed that Africans had no soul and they believed that heaven was for whites only. In fact, the early Christians believed that the thought of an African entering heaven was as ridiculous as a dog doing so. These are absolute facts. So therefore, when you look at facts as they are, it had nothing to do with so we can join them in heaven in the afterlife. The objective was to instill the myth of a white God into the collective minds of the Africans. When Africans are made to believe that God is white, this created adoration towards whiteness that is psychologically imposed onto, transposed onto white people. So then we start feeling subservient towards whites because whites are closer to God. And we are taught that God is the highest in the universe. Don't put our children before him. Don't put our spouse before him. Don't put our parents before him. And he's white. So subconsciously, what are we doing? We're putting whites above everything. So, yes, that's how they program our minds. Mm-hmm. And, yes, there are those who will never wake up to this reality, but that's nonetheless. Just keep telling the truth, and those who are receptive to it will come for it.
Mm-hmm. Let's get Brother Irv on this conversation. Brother Irv, how you doing, man?
Brother Opie, thank you for letting me come on and speak. And hello to Brother Franklin. How are you, my brother?
Hey, my brother, how you doing? Pleasure to hear you.
Listen, man, you say all the callers have been fantastic, first of all. And you said that the brother brings a lot to the conversation. Yes, he does. And you do also. What you've done is you inspire questions in me. And that's all I want. I want you to inspire questions so I can do my research. But you said something, and you brought receipts, you said Donald Trump is one of the best things that happened for black people. And then you said why you thought that. Most people will say it, but they have no idea why this is so good for us. Because Donald Trump is one of these white folks that speaks the truth about how he feels about you. He has no cut card. He has no filter. He can't. But Biden and Obama and Clinton and all these Democrats and other Republicans, they can think on the fly and sugarcoat their answer so that you don't feel so offended. You know,
exactly.
And that's what it appears to be, a sneakiness about him, but it actually is more of an arrogance about him. He can give, because he already knows I control. See, I control both sides of the. He reminds me of a Don King at a Mike Tyson fight. Whoever wins, he runs in the ring and holds their arm up. He owns both fighters. They hedge their bets. They play both sides of and that to me is just amazing. And one more thing, I'm gonna stop. Baba Oshie played a clip where the brother talks about when there's a virus, the only thing that can kill that virus is another virus. Mm-hmm. And when you said racism, white supremacy has to be fought, You have to fight that with a force that is comparable to racism and white supremacy. In other words, marching up down the street, wearing out your shoes, that may do some things, but it doesn't really get to the core of it. Because you're dealing with a people whose God is not the Most High. Their God is money. Their God is comfortability. Their God is, I got a whole, how the hell do you own an island, Brother Franklin? You own an island? And it's yours, and you can do whatever you want on it, and you can bring all the children you want there and have sex with them. And nobody's going to do anything to you. And then you bring your friends there, and as soon as something happens, they kill you, and the friends act like they didn't know you. Well, I knew him, but I didn't know he was doing that. Everybody knew he was doing that.
Yeah.
But so the point is, now you got me looking at this, but in actuality, you just took my Medicaid. Huh? And who paid for it? I did. I paid taxes. Washington doesn't produce anything. I paid taxes, and you're going to take my money that you were using to help me when I can't work? So, and this is what these Caucasians want, because they're being duped. They're being duped like the Negroes are.
Yeah.
Explain to me how you can get so caught up in yourself that you can let somebody beat you, and you say he's our leader. How do these white people fall into that? Are they that stupid, or are we? Or am I looking at this wrong, Brother Franklin?
Mm-hmm. We see it. You know, there are those in power who study how to hack the human mind, the group mind. There are often techniques that are used to make people vote against their interests. Like, for example, the poor whites in America who voted for Trump. Oh, they're getting it harder now. They're losing so much of their benefit. They're losing their medical. They're losing all these things, and they voted for Trump. They voted for Trump, and Trump doesn't give a damn about poor white Americans. But you see, they was able to. They were manipulated. He used their racism. He used the us against them ideology. He used the let's go after the brown people. Let's go after the black people. But the white people are losing. Look at the DEI. The largest benefactors of DEI programs were white women. So they're losing. So yeah, people are able to get duped out of their own interests without if they're not realizing what's happening. That's why in our educational system, they say, when they created this, they don't want a critical thinking, educated group of people. They want a group of workers. So we're not, in our school system, we're not educated to be critical thinkers. We are told what to think, and we just regurgitate it, and we repeat it. It's called a herd mentality. And that herd mentality has been used against people to make people vote against their own rights. And that's what we're seeing. We see it, so not just black people who are walking around speaking in behalf of the system of white supremacy. We have poor whites who are walking around speaking against their own interests as well. You know, if you're not a critical thinker and you don't question your thoughts, you're more susceptible to becoming a part of the sheep-minded group. And those are sheep-minded people.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you for that. That put it where I can understand it. And I'm going to do my research, and I can't wait till you come back to the show, brother, because you are amazing, man. You are amazing. Thank you so much.
I am humbled by your accolades. I appreciate it.
I say. Yes. Right on, brother. Right on, Brother Irv.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, I have a good feeling about what's happening at this moment. Because of the awakening of Africans on the continent and globally, you know. Still one of the problems, of course, is, as Baba Kilimanjaro, the brother who I read and talk to periodic on the internet, as we were talking about Arabs, you know, and the Arab enslavement of Africans was far earlier than Europeans and lasted far longer, and in fact, still in effect to this day. You know, their dominance of North Africa, you know, when they were allowed, not they allowed it, but what happened with the Europeans going into Libya after all the things that Muammar Gaddafi did for the Libyan people, and how stabilized the country was and how advanced it was, that they assassinated him and then let all of these thugs in
And now Libya is a mess.
Yeah.
You know? And so I say that to say, we must always be vigilant. We must always be in control of ours and our destiny. And the fact that we cannot, I repeat, we cannot trust Caucasians, and we cannot trust these minions, these Negroes, you know, these folks who want to continue to do the bidding for Caucasians because, you know, they get favor. You know, they have the ability now to move here, do this or do that. The bottom line is this fight that we're in, yes, it is against the corruption and what Europeans were able to establish globally, because the things that they have done when they came out of that ice age, and then of course they came out, and then it came down into Africa, and we allowed them to come in and study. Then when they went back in and they came back as conquerors. Then when we moved across North Africa, Arabs did, and then the Africans, the Moors, came into Europe from 711 to 1492. We put a light on to Europe and tell them crackers to get them animals out the castle, put them in a corral, and take baths on a regular and so forth. We continuously taught these people. And how do they repay us? Enslavement, colonization, colonialism, raping and taking out. This is how they do it. You know, that's why I'm happy to see what's happening. I'm happy to see it. I want to continue. Now, Paul brought up, is there, and he, I'd like for him to elaborate, that is this real or is this another trick by Europeans?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I, you know, to me, I guess I have to have faith that it is real. Because if it's not, and it's a continuation of what Europeans have done, it's so damn disheartening, it's pathetic. But we'll see. We'll see. Only time can tell. But the bottom line is, for those who are putting themselves out front, talking about, you know, doing things for their country, doing things for their people, as opposed to, you know, many of the other African leaders who have been in leadership 10, 20, 30, 40 damn years. And the country is no better for it, because they have enriched themselves. They have bank accounts in Swiss banks. They have enriched themselves, and yet the people still suffer. So we'll see. I'm hoping that all of this will be revealed, you know, maybe within 10 years from now. So we know that our struggle and our movement is real, and then we're going to move forward with it. We have to, because, you know, I always say Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. That's it. That's the bottom line, family. If we do not do this in the way that we should do it, must do it, our future is tenuous. No, it is not guaranteed. No one's to say that these folks cannot re-enslave us. You know? But I know there's a good number of us who will fight to the end, and that's a good thing to think on. But still, I love to see what's happening to Brother Franklin. I really do. And I hope that it continues.
Yeah, you know, that review you said about history, when you start talking about when we civilized them as the Moors and went back, mm-hmm. it's a shame that history that you just recapped is a true history, mm-hmm. but it's not taught in school.
Right.
That history is not taught, and that's by deliberate design. Mm-hmm. Not taught in our schools. People function based on what they are taught. And if they don't know, you can teach them in ways that marginalize them. For example, if you raise a child and he's just been completely taught from what's taught in our school, You have another child who was raised learning the teachings of John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben, and Chancellor Williams. The child who would learn these information will have a higher self-esteem, a higher self-effectiveness. These people will, you are affected by the information that you were taught. And those black people who don't research for ourselves, we've been colonized to do this. We send our children to school, for example, and all we care about, are you getting good grades?
Yeah.
A's, you're getting A's? And that's right. All we care about.
Exactly.
But we don't consider what's being indoctrinated into our children's minds. It's like if you send Zulus to the schools of Romans, they'll come home praising Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's happening to our people. The white man's monopoly over information, he's continued to indoctrinate us. But what's different now, what is the factual difference, is that we now have access to information, we now have internet, and we now have our own people speaking up, telling the truth. Because many of our people know that they're being lied to. They know that the system is a fraud, but many don't know how to conceptualize the truth or how to find the truth. And therefore, when they hear those who speak it, they gravitate. Mm-hmm. So often I meet people who say, Frank, I've never heard that before, but I already knew it. I intuitively knew it. I knew what you were saying. I knew everything you're saying, but I just didn't able to formulate it. But I know it. Intuitively, they knew it. There are many people who do know. Get them to go out and find the information. Everything is a lie. We are functioning based upon lies that serve the system of white supremacy. Mm-hmm. It's in our schools. Everything we're taught are lies that places whites at the top, at the center, at the beginning of everything.
When
you read the Bible and they say Adam and Eve are white, we are the result of a curse.
Yeah.
BS. And you have many people who walk around believing that.
Well, because if you believe in the Bible and if you are instructed as it is, that you believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God, and then there is no, so all the fairy tales that are in it, Noah in the ark, Noah's four sons and their four wives, Noah's three sons and their three wives. All humanity came from them, Ham, Shem, and Japheth.
Total BS.
Yeah.
Total BS.
Well,
in fact, no Jews were ever enslaved in African ancient Egypt. Never.
None.
The pyramids are older than before the first Jew, alleged Shem, was born.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Great Pyramid is older than Adam and Eve. According to biblical scholars, Adam and Eve existed between 6,000 to 8,000 years ago. Experts find that the Great Sphinx is much, many more thousand years old than that. The Egypt is older than Adam and Eve. Therefore, Adam and Eve is a work of fiction. You have these people believing. It goes. People don't function based on what is true. They function based on what's perceived as true. So all that's required for controlling people is to shape their perception of what's true, and that's what the white man has done. He said perception is more true. Power lies only what's perceived as true for controlling people. So you create a narrative. And we even see it in the sense of how women around the globe have been subjugated to a second-class sex because of the story that the first woman came from the rib of a man at the request of a man to be a helpmate of a man. Mm-hmm. And you tell a woman that, okay, God made you to serve me.
Mm-hmm.
But the story of Adam and Eve is told BS.
Yeah.
And the oldest human remains found was that of a woman. And she's much older than the story of Adam and Eve. But you see, people function based upon the story of Adam and Eve and they use that to subjugate women. In reality, the subjugation of women is a part of the sexist white society.
You know,
in ancient times, what they taught us is a mutual respect. In ancient times, the relationship between a man and a woman was like a hand. The palm of the hand can be used to fondle and caress. The back of the hand, the fist, can be used to fight and attack. They have different functions, but none is inferior to the other. And if a relationship needs mutual respect, the man comes home, the woman gives him respect. The man comes, he gives the woman respect. Mutual respect for each other. Not someone is a higher and someone is a lower. That's a part of the white man's indoctrination, who is a sexist and a racist. He used the religion to push his racist ideologies as well as his sexist ideologies. Yeah.
Well, Well, let me say,
they don't care about the truth. They don't care about the truth. They know I'm going to continue to believe in this, that we come from the rib of a woman and the rib of a man, and women are subordinate. Well, you know, I teach my daughters to buy into the sexist Western world.
You know, last week I dealt with the Exodus and saying that the Exodus did not happen historically. There is no proof that the Exodus happened historically. None. You know, but we must have an Exodus. We must have an Exodus. We must get the hell up out of here and throughout the diaspora and go home with the skills we have to work with our brothers and sisters on the continent to develop, to build roads and highways and ports and, you know, hospitals and schools and so forth. But let me read this right here that I just picked up off the internet. I question the intelligence of anyone who actually believes that the Bible truly contains the true words of God. Our great ancestor, Nana Dr. John Henry Clark. A Bible that strongly supports the evils of slavery written by ungodly Romans who routinely engaged in massive orgies and death sports is totally disqualified them containing the true words of God. And the ungodly way that the religion was introduced to Africans also disqualifies it coming truly from God, because infallible God would never allow his true teachings to be introduced to a people in such a brutally ungodly manner, as the religion was brutally beaten into submission within the blood-soaked minds of Africans by their ungodly enslavers. They have our people so mentally enslaved that telling the black liberation truth now literally offends millions. Franklin Jones.
You know, it's really sad because it's common sense, but you got so many people who are not functioning off of common sense.
Right.
A Bible that strongly condones the evils of slavery, written by ungodly Romans who routinely engage in massive orgies, incest, death sports, is totally disqualified. And do you know that Roman, who oversaw the writing of the Bible, Constantine, the person in charge of the gold in the Bible, he himself refused to convert into a Christian even while on his deathbed. Mm-hmm. He died without doing so. So when the person in charge, it's like, you wouldn't accept a meal prepared by a chef who absolutely refused
to eat his own food. I agree.
He refused. And imagine you're trying to force him to take his food and he won't eat it. But you're going to eat it? That's how it is. The person in charge of the Bible refused to convert to a Christian, but yet we got millions of our people saying, it's the true word of God. It's because it comes from a position of ignorance. When people are ignorant, they'll always believe nonsense. Because they're the ignorant ones, nonsense makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And they make enemies of those who intelligently present facts, showing them that what they believe makes no sense at all. Their minds have been distorted. And once they've been so indoctrinated, truth doesn't matter to them. They just want to continue believing what they want to believe.
Right.
And these are the ones who go from their cradle to their grave, having lived their entire lives been mentally enslaved by the white society. Therefore, live their entire lives believing lies, and their minds were never truly their own. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's them. And yes, we have those in our family. But you know who my main family are? My main family are not the biological ones of mine who are mentally enslaved. Mm-hmm. Those who are woke, that's who I gravitate to. Those who are woke. Those who are conscious, those are my tribe.
That's right.
Those are my people.
Exactly.
My tribe are the ones who are conscious. Mm-hmm. The ones who the ancestors have preserved their minds.
Right. And who have the courage.
I love conscious black people because they're special. They don't know how special they are. Mm-hmm. Because you're buried under more than 400 years of indoctrination. But yet you get up and say, I don't believe in that bullshit. Mm-hmm. 400 years of indoctrination, and you get up and say, I believe that bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's a mind. That's a powerful mind. That's why I salute the conscience. Mm-hmm.
Let me get this call. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Is that Franklin Jones?
Hey, what's up, Jay?
What's up, Jay? Hey, listen, this is a pleasant surprise. I didn't expect to hear Franklin Jones when I turned this bad boy on today. Listen, brother, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I was honored to be on this program.
Well, that's good, brother. Well, look, Oshi, in honor of this good brother, man, just put me on mute.
Okay.
And let Franklin continue to do his thing, man. I haven't heard him in so long, so I figure, man, let him pontificate on the subject matters that he know best,
right,
and I'll just sit in the cut and listen.
Right, Hotep, brother. Hotep, Jay, have a good weekend, man. And
you
I know,
too, my brother.
And I know I'll see you on Monday when Baba Barudi will
be
out.
Man, I'm gonna definitely make sure I take my headphones with me so that I can tune in and listen to Baba as soon as he get on. I'm gonna make that a definite.
All right,
so have
Jay.
A good weekend, man. Be
you
good.
Too.
And Franklin, you take care of yourself and keep up the good work, my brother.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you for calling in.
Right.
All right.
Brother.
Hey, Baba?
Yes.
I'm surprised that a brother said it's been a while since I've been on. I didn't realize that. Maybe we can set something up where we can have a routine somewhere else.
Yeah.
Let's set something up, okay?
Let's definitely do that. Like I said, man, you can give me a call and say, hey, Baba Oshi, you know, let's have conversation. Brother Paul.
Let's do something. Let's set a regular something.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely.
It doesn't feel like it takes this long anymore. I didn't realize that. I thought, you know, I didn't realize it.
Brother Paul.
It's always an honor. I know we're running out of time. Now we're getting ready for the 10-minute mark and left.
Right.
But I want to say, since I met you, I've always saw that African spirit in you. I always loved that about you, this sincerity in you.
I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate it. I know.
I know you love African people. I know you love your people. I know you love the truth. I know you do this as a labor of love. And that's amazing.
Yep.
And I want to say what's great about this also is what you're doing and how it impacts those who don't do what you're doing, those who just, we have our relationship with our families. And when we die and they bury us, we've impacted that small circle of people. But when you do what you do and you get on these social media platforms and you're spreading the truth, your impact is far and wide.
Mm-hmm.
And when you close your eyes to go to the ancestors, you can do so knowing that you've contacted and reached thousands, if not millions, throughout the world. And that's an honor. And that's what I think the ancestors will welcome you with great open arms, because you obeyed them and you gave yourself and your love to teaching your people, to talking to your people, to be a voice for your people. That makes you a beautiful soul. And that's why I say I honor you, my brother.
All right, dear brother. Brother Paul.
Right, Baba Oshi and our brother Sebe. I want to just bring something to your attention, brother. Do any of you know what parapsychology is?
I've read about it somewhat. You have to reframe my mind. I've read it, but I don't remember the detail. I can't pull it up off my head, but I remember
reading it. If I said to you remote viewing.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Amazing. Right. Yes, and you know, CIA was doing testing on it also.
Right. Well, let's put the CIA for aside. Look, what I'm trying to explain to you is that, you know, how did I come across this? Because I have an interest in these things, yeah? All right. So most of us, if you ask, 99% have no idea what it is. But let me tell you, if you go and look at it, right, they've been using this. Brother, this is what I'm trying to say. We're just out of the box. They've been using this where they can go and look at things. Now, let me confirm that this is real. Quantum physics. What's your idea of quantum physics?
Okay, I want to go back to remote viewing for a second. So people don't understand it. There was a documentary, and they had this man go into a room. How they did this? I'm trying to remember. So people know what you're talking about, remote viewing. A man was supposed to draw what he saw at a different location. And he drew with very close detail of something that was a different place. I can't remember how they did it. But that's what remote viewing was, of how there are people who are gifted. And you can tell what's there without actually seeing it. Is that a documentary you're referring to? Is that a research you're referring to?
Exactly, but that's it's research. But what I'm saying, that's the research,
yeah.
But even before the research, look, we you're from the Caribbean,
yeah,
in America. What I'm trying to explain to you, would you argue with me that we have these people among us? Would you argue?
Oh yes, we do.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Now we have these people among us. I know they're in my family. We have them.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's real. It's not a joke. What they're doing with what I'm talking about, they put a label on it, slipped my mind, but remote viewing, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What they've put a label on it, and they've done a research, and as you said, they've done a documentary, but we've had these people among us for years.
Yeah.
But the question is, are we aware and are we using this gift? Are we, answer that for me, please.
You know, you're pulling me into an area that I keep private. Okay, how do I put this? My brother, I'm one of those people.
Right.
When I go out with information, I go out to confirm the information.
Don't say no more, brother. Don't say no more. The point I'm trying to make here is this.
Yeah.
This is how they dumbed us down. I want to cry. I'm telling you, I want to cry how they have done to us. They have totally, brother. One time I heard a brother come on this radio station. He said something and I heard him say it and I knew it was real. And another brother phoned up and he started being aggressive towards him. And I thought, why is he doing that? And I know why he was doing that, because the information he heard for the first time went outside of his brain and went outside of his cerebral cortex. And so he felt angry. And that's how we behave when we hear something we don't know. That's what they've done to us. So, brother, I'm going to say this, yeah? And people can go and research this. The 100 monkey theory, right? It means that when consciousness gets to a certain level, it's a number. Look, it's pointless just using maths to get a job. That's a waste of time. If you use maths, you have to use it to your advantage. So what I'm going to say here, the number we're talking about is 5. 5%. You need 5% of the population, right? We're not leaving no one behind, whether they're up or not, because once you get to 5%, when you hit 5% of any population in the world with information, it automatically, the universe interjects and rolls on. The advertisers knows it. This is what Edward Bernays told your companies in America. Go and read it if you think I'm making it up. Yeah. With Edward Bernays, who came out of the Tavistock Institute, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, came to America. He's the one who told the companies how to convince the public to buy things. You get 5% of any population and it automatically just happens by like some magic. It's not magic, it's frequency. It's when you... So look, what I'm trying to show you is this. This is what they're hiding from us. This is what they're hiding for us. So we don't, no one's going to be left behind, whether they're up or not. We're not leaving no one behind. We just get 5%. That's why I say we need to amplify this. 5% of any population, and then the universe interjects and does the work. These are the things they've turned into hocus pocus and made us afraid of. They call it black magic. But black magic is Kemet. Kemet means black. Kemet means black. It was the Arabs who turned it into Al-Kemet. And the Europeans turned it into chemistry alchemy. Alchemy from Kemet. So look, it's just words they're playing on. They know it's real. And this is what they are using, our own powers against us. When they went into these places, they saw what we were doing. And they've turned it around, given us the damn Bible and the Quran, and taken our powers, and they're using our powers against us. So you don't have to tell me that you're one of them. There's a lot of us, but they have made us embarrassed to use our powers to even speak about it. But I'm going to speak about it, because we have got power that is more powerful than a nuclear bomb, but we just don't even know, because we don't know who we are. Thank you.
Right on.
To those who are listening, don't dispute the facts. You don't understand the lies you've been misled to believe. Doing so will keep you mentally enslaved by the white society. The brother's on point. He's very intelligent. He's well-read. He's on point. My brother, yes, you are absolutely right. I believe in remote viewing, and I believe that that's how I do my find. What I find, then I go out to research it, to bring evidence to show people this is what's being done. I also believe in the 5%. When I send out information, I don't expect everyone to get it.
Exactly.
But I do recognize that when a significant amount, like 5% grabs it, that's enough to start creating a shifting of paradigm within the, I guess, of the world. Yes, I fully understand. When you said to me, Brother Paul, that you received a meme of mine, and you started looking at it, you started to think. And I say, I was glad to hear that, because I know a brother somewhere else on the globe saw a meme and totally understood what I was saying. Yes, that's the reason why I do what I do. And it's the reason why my stuff is always shadow banned, because it's trying to get a collective amount of people who's conscious, and once they awaken to it, change happens. Mm-hmm. Change happens.
Let me get this.
And we're living in a time of the awakening. Yeah. It is happening.
Let me get this caller in, Baba Butch.
Okay.
Baba Butch.
Listen, go ahead. Fantastic program, but I was at a lecture with Dr. Ivan Van Sertima back in the 70s. He used to come up at First World on Saturday with John Henry Clark and Dr. Ben. And he got into a question and answer period. I don't remember what the question or the answer. I remember the answer. Young lady asked him something pertaining to what you're talking about right now. He paused for about 2 seconds. He said, well, it's a question. He says, it's a matter of a colonization of the imagination. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about. They colonize your imagination. Okay.
Wow.
Now, my brother Paul, it's always good to hear from this brother, because when I hear Paul, I'm listening. I hear my father.
Right on.
And Paul is way younger than my father. And my father's been dead since 78.
Hmm.
You understand? Yeah. So listen, like I said again, they have captured your mind, your creativity, the whole, like the Frankenstein movie.
Same thing.
Colonization of the imagination. And Paul, I love you to death, my brother. That's all I got to say.
Right on.
Yes. Right. I love that term you use. I never heard a term used that way. I love it. I want to use it now. The colonization of the imagination.
I got that from Ivan Van Sertima. That's not me. At election 1973. Every Saturday from about 3 to about 7 or 8 o'clock when people left. Dr. Ben, John Henry Clark, you name it. Every Saturday it was different presentation. But Ivan Van Sertima said it's a question of colonization of your imagination.
Exactly. I totally get it when you say it. It's profound. I thank you
and
for
the lecture. I recorded the lecture. I still have it on a cassette.
Right on.
I got 90-minute cassettes, and I got that in there, colonization of the imagination. When I heard that, I got up and left. I was finished.
Ooh. Wow. That
I got up and walked out. There was nothing else to tell me. There was nothing else to say.
Yeah.
Colonization of the imagination. Because they get you through your mind, your creative force.
Yeah.
But Paul, you are my brother. Later.
All right, Baba Butch. Peace, my brother. Yes, sir. Have a good weekend. Have a good weekend, Baba Butch. Closing remarks, my good brother. We're up against that clock again, as usual, man.
I know, brother. I thank you for having me on, and I look forward to being on again. I know you're running out of time. One love, my brother. One love and peace.
Right on.
And thanks to all the callers who called in.
Right on. And just as you said, let's make a schedule. So I'll get back with you, and we'll develop some, because, information is necessary. It's mind-changing, and that's what we need to do, change our mind. That's why I do this program, to help, you know, because, you know, the cracker, the European Caucasian, has a vice grip on our minds. And if you know that tool, once the vice grip is set, once it's clamped, you can't open it. You can't pull it apart, no matter how strong you are. So what does it take? It takes consciousness. It takes people who are willing to impart knowledge, and you accept that knowledge, and the more you accept it, the more you act on it, you begin to release that vice grip. That's because a knob at the end of the handle of the vice grip, that once you're acquiring this knowledge and act on it, you keep turning it until finally it loosens and pow, you open it up. And not that you change the Caucasians, damn them, you don't have to change. No, you change yourself. You open up your mind, you know. And now you want others to open their minds. And let's become one. And let's move in that direction. I agree with you, Brother Franklin. Africa is rising. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed.
This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Have a great weekend. Hope to see you on Monday when my guest will be Baba Mwalimu Baruti, Baba Baruti. Okay? So Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.
Of your friend.